I have a question to ask you. Have you heard the term the fear of the Lord? Have you read about the fear of the Lord in the Bible? Do you think the fear of the Lord makes you afraid? Do you think that if the fear of the Lord is manifesting, that you're going to be afraid? Well, you're going to find out about that in today's program. So welcome to Everlasting Love. My name is Patricia King, and my special guest today is Stacy Campbell. And Stacy, I'm so glad to have you with us because you have had an encounter in the fear of the Lord, actually at a very young age, that has made an impact on your entire life. We're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about the scriptures and what the Lord says about the fear of the Lord. What is it? What does it mean? What is it useful for?
Okay. Yeah. I didn't understand this when I had this experience because I was so young. But now when I look back, you know, 40, 50 years later, not quite 50, but I realized that it altered the course of my entire life. I was about maybe 5 or 6 years old, and I'd gone to this daily vacation Bible school in my hometown, and I was in rural Saskatchewan, you know, and they had shown these little flannel graph pictures of the children coming to Jesus, and it was so, I don't know, I was so impacted by that story that I thought, oh man, I would just love it. I would love to go sit on Jesus' lap. I would love to do that. So before I went to bed that night, you know how children are,
right?
I just prayed, oh Jesus, you know, I would love to see you like those little children did. Could I just come and sit on your lap like the little children did? And that night, I had one of the most graphic encounters with God that I have ever had. And I guess it was a dream. I don't know. But I in the dream, I was before Jesus. I knew it was Jesus. But it wasn't like the Jesus in the flannel graph pictures where the little kids were coming to him. It was this huge, immense, giant Jesus. But in my heart, I knew it was Jesus. And remembering the story, I started running towards him. And when I ran towards him, I started to look up. And all I got to was about his knees, and he began to speak. And when he began to speak, his voice was like thunder. His voice was like many waters. His voice actually didn't, it wasn't, I didn't just hear it in my ears. I heard it all through my being. It just went, and he said simply three lines. And the first line was, Christ has died. We used to say that in church every week. And it was like this loud thunder booming voice, Christ has died. And then the second line was, Christ is risen. And the third one, and Christ will come again. And it was so impacting.
Wow.
That the accent was definitely on the last line. And Christ will come again. That I just was like utterly undone. I didn't, you know, when I looked up and I got to about his knees, I was going to look at his face, and he began to speak. I just hit the deck. You know, my hands were over my head. I was trying to make myself as small as I could because I was terrified. I was literally terrified. But the impact of that was that I knew God was real. I knew that he was coming again, that I better get ready. And I knew that he cared that I do good and not evil. And from that moment on, like I was the white sheep in my family. I have five brothers, twin sisters. I was always telling on them. And if I thought they did something wrong, I would haul them into the bathroom and sit them down and say, you know that's wrong, don't you? They yeah, we know. Well, either you tell mom and dad or I'll tell mom and dad. And I was like, you know, I actually became pretty self-righteous at the end of the day because I, you know, but I was so keenly aware from
right.
that moment on of right and wrong.
And eventually you got introduced to a greater measure of grace that
Absolutely.
Balanced it all out. But, you know, those type of encounters, you know, you just never forget.
Never.
Because it gets put inside of you. It's not something for the mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that fills every fiber of
okay.
your being.
You've had something like that, right?
I did. I've actually had two encounters in the spirit of the fear of the Lord. And what I find interesting, Stacy, is that when you hear people talking about the fear of the Lord, I've heard people say, well, you know, when the spirit of the fear of the Lord's around, it doesn't make you afraid. It's just a respect for God. That's what the fear of the Lord is, just respecting God. And I thought, you haven't encountered
yeah.
the spirit
no.
of the fear of the Lord then. Because
you don't stand. You don't.
No, it's like, but it's not a cruelty fear.
No.
It's like this awesomeness of the bigness of who God is that you all of a sudden in an instant know you cannot stand. You cannot stand next to him and live
no.
without his grace, like without his mercy.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he is so perfect. Mm-hmm. He is so powerful. He is so righteous. Mm-hmm. He is so flawless. He can breathe and snuff the whole world out. Mm-hmm. And you become aware of that bigness. And so how can you say you're not afraid mm-hmm. at a time like that?
Yeah, people in the Bible, like Isaiah 6, anybody that ever saw the Lord, the first thing they say is holy, holy, holy. In heaven, that's what they never stop saying, is holy, because that you're impacted so intensely. Even if he's not talking about holy, his very being is so pure. It's so awesome. It's like an alignment goes on the inside
exactly.
of you
that's
towards
a
him.
Really good way to put it. Mm-hmm. You know, in Exodus 33, Moses was hungry for God, so he set this tent of meeting outside the camp, and he'd meet with God every day. The pillar of cloud descended. God would speak to him face to face as a man speaks to a friend. Mm-hmm. And then he just gets hungry for more, because the more you experience of God, the more you want of him. So Moses has already encountered God as a friend. Mm-hmm. He knows his voice as a friend. And then he says to God, he said, "Show me your glory."
Yeah.
And I find it interesting that in the early part of that chapter, it says that God spoke to him face to face as a man speaks to a friend. But then God says, "I'm going to allow all my goodness to pass before you. I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before you. But you cannot see my face, because no man can see my face mm-hmm. and live." And I thought, well, that's confusing, because you just spoke to him face to face as a man speaks mm-hmm. to a friend. And now you say he cannot see your face. But when I did a study on that in the Hebrew, the word face can be used singularly or plural. We can take the singular aspects of God. So, for example, he might reveal to you maybe his love.
Yeah.
So when you see the Lord in his love, it's like you're filled with love.
Mm-hmm.
When you see the Lord, if he's revealing his grace, you'll see his grace. If you see the Lord with his laughter and his joy, you'll experience that, because that's what he is revealing. But God actually said, if he were to reveal the fullness of all that he is, no man can take it and live. No man can absorb that. In these human bodies, outside of being in Christ, we cannot take the fullness of God.
No.
In fact, I believe that all eternity cannot contain the fullness of God, because he said his ways are past finding out. He is that big. Mm-hmm. And to make him any smaller is to minimize the greatness of our God.
Yeah, you started out by saying that people that think it's a trite thing almost, "Oh yeah, I've experienced the fear of the Lord." Like, I totally agree, there are facets of God that he shows. But whenever he really pulls back the full nature of who he is, it is in these bodies we can't
take it. But one of the aspects I'm longing for, because I love the fear of the Lord a lot, although mm-hmm. it's difficult to take in the moment.
Yes.
Right? That's why Isaiah, when he was taken up into the presence of the Lord in the throne room, he was undone.
Mm-hmm.
He was finished. He thought, I'm a goner, because the glory and the essence of who God is was so great. So in the moment, you cannot take it. You need extra grace to take it when the fear of the Lord mm-hmm. is manifesting. But what I love about the fear of the Lord is when you have experienced it, it will keep you from evil. In fact, when it's manifesting, it is impossible to sin.
Yeah.
Impossible. You can't think a sinful thought. You don't dare even go there.
No.
Every fiber of your being wants to align with God. Every fiber of your being. And you don't dare be in any mm-hmm. other position.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when I was visited by the fear of the Lord, the first time was in the Philippines years ago, and I woke up at 4 a.m. and I had actually been going off in an area. I didn't realize that. You know how mm-hmm. you can just kind of start believing a certain way and making
it's subtle.
Making decisions off of what you believe, and it turns out to be whoops,
mm-hmm.
you know. But I was kind of in that. And I actually, when looking back, the Holy Spirit had convicted me, but I didn't listen to the conviction.
Mm-hmm.
And he loved me so much and cared about that so much that he wanted to discipline me.
Mm-hmm.
So he wakes me up at 4 a.m. with a very, very strong disciplinary voice, audible.
Yeah.
And it shook everything on the inside of me. I couldn't move. I was frozen. I thought, your judgment is right. This is absolutely true. Mm-hmm. You know, and right now I just need your mercy, you know, and I'll never, ever do that again. I'll never go there again, right? But that was my first visitation, and it lingered for days, weeks, like, mm-hmm. and every time I thought of it, I trembled, mm-hmm. you know, because I thought, God cannot be crossed. He loves us so much. Mm-hmm. And in his love, he will keep us aligned. But he cannot be crossed, and the final verdict is his. Mm-hmm. There's no excuses. Mm-hmm. The second time was in Toronto. I was getting ready to speak at TACF. And so I was just praying in my hotel room. And the spirit of holiness came. Wow. The holiness of God fell in the room. And it got heavier and heavier and heavier. I identified it first. Oh, the holiness of God, how beautiful. And then it went into terror. Yeah. And that's the only way that I can explain it, is that the purity, the power of his holiness, the power mm-hmm. of his righteousness, the power of his justice was all combined in one. And this visitation was too much. And all of a sudden, in the light of who he was, mm-hmm. I saw who I was without him.
Yeah.
If I was without him, where I would be. And that's all I could see. And everything in me that was not perfect like him was exposed. In other words, every part of my carnal nature, not the born-again yeah. nature, but my carnal nature, was exposed for what it was in the light of it. It was completely exposed, everything. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I'm undone. I'm finished. So I fell on the floor, and I actually tried to crawl away from the presence because I was undone. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, I can't crawl away, but if only I could go inside the carpet, maybe I could be like, oh, maybe that's what... You know, the prophet said, oh, I want to go on the ground and be like a worm.
Yeah.
You know, oh, maybe I could do that. A worm sounds good right now. Mm-hmm. That's who I am. Get me into some dirt. Get me mm-hmm. out of the present because I am undone. And I could feel my filthiness mm-hmm. outside of who I was in Christ. I could feel it. And at that time, I didn't have any recall of who I was in Christ. All I could see was my human nature and how wicked it was, how deceitfully mm-hmm. wicked it was. So then I thought, okay, just a minute. Maybe I can make an appeal. Okay, God, remember this. Okay, I remember I did a good deed over here. I remember, but it didn't stand because the weight of the righteousness continued. Mm-hmm. And I was undone. I thought, all I can do is cry for mercy. So I started crying for mercy. And all of a sudden, the room lightened somewhat, although it was still too heavy. Mm-hmm. I was undone, undone, undone. And for 2 years after that encounter, for 2 years, mm-hmm. I was undone. Every time I thought of it, I was undone. Mm-hmm. But I knew that it was a call to live uprightly, mm-hmm. that God really cared about it, that he revealed his perfection.
Yeah.
And he really wants us to be like that. Now, in our own effort, we can't do it. After 2 years of being almost terrorized by this encounter, the Lord introduced me to a revelation of the finished work of the cross.
Wow.
And he showed me it's the only way, mm-hmm. the only way you can be right mm-hmm. with me is to walk in the righteousness of Christ, because you have died. You are crucified with Christ. It's no longer you who lives, but Christ who lives in you. And the life that you now live in the flesh, you live by the faith of the Son of God who loved you and gave his life for you. And I wept and wept and wept. I held onto that cross. I said, I will never let go of this cross. I will never let go of this cross.
But didn't you find too that after that encounter, literally from the inside out, you wanted to be good? You know, like, You didn't want to watch certain things. You wanted to have that turned off. Your whole stand, your internal, it wasn't something put on you, like, oh, you got to do this, you got to do it. Like, from the inside out, there's this desire after an encounter like that, that you don't even want to do bad. It's like, it doesn't even enter your head. You don't, it's, in fact, if thoughts and like that
puts
come
a
into
standard
your head.
In
exactly.
You.
It puts a standard inside.
You know, when people tell me that they've had an encounter with the fear of the Lord and then live like a devil, I thought, no, you have not experienced the fear of the Lord, because mm-hmm. if you have, you cannot sin. Mm-hmm. You don't have a bent towards sin, mm-hmm. you know, and when you do sin, you're undone inside yeah. and you want to make it right.
And to me, I think it's one of the most greatest gifts of grace that God could give. You know, I mean, if in his grace and in his mercy, because he saw inside of you, you crying out for righteousness, you desiring holiness, he actually answers the prayers that we pray.
Yeah.
And then in his grace, he gives you the spirit of the fear of the Lord to help you to do what you've already asked or to do your desires. And, you know, I know many people like that, that even without an encounter with the fear of the Lord, they've cried out to be delivered. They've cried out, and God in His grace gives them the power to not do the thing that they don't want to do, you know?
And in this hour, He wants us to know fullness. Now, one of the ways that we serve the body of Christ is through prophetic calling. Yeah. And the prophets, one of the mandates of the prophet is to put the righteous plumb line of God into the earth so that the church remains safe and yeah. the children of God can live a beautiful life without the entanglements of sin that ultimately destroys. A thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus came that we'd have life and have it in abundance. Yeah. So we have to do it His way. So one of the ways that prophets serve the body is to call them to that righteous plumb line, to call them to see who Jesus is in that way. And so I believe that one of the reasons why we've had these encounters is so that we can live the message. It's not just words.
No.
It's not just words. When I preach on the spirit of the fear of the Lord or on righteousness, every fiber of my being, and I know that you're the same because we've had prayer times where we've cried out for the body. And in this hour, it's the kindness and the severity of God yeah. that we have to look at. Mm-hmm. You know, it's grace and truth. Mm-hmm. We can't just say, oh, God loves me, I'll go out and live like the devil, because it'll hurt you. It'll hurt the world around you. It'll hurt coming generations. And God loves us too much to leave us in that place.
That's so true. And like Ephesians 1, 17 and 18 says, you know, that He wants to give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And the wisdom is, you know, it translates in your daily life. And the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning
yes.
of wisdom. That the understanding of right and wrong, that the law of God written on your heart comes alive at a whole new level. It actually then translates into, into a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday lifestyle. It's not something where you got a secret life and then a public life. You know, one time I was at Toronto and the Lord gave me this prophecy. It scared even me. And it was on a scripture from Proverbs, I think 3, but I'm not exactly sure. And it said, there are 6 things that the Lord hates. Yes, 7 that are an abomination to Him. And then it lists what those seven things are that are an right. actual abomination to the Lord. And one of the things that was an abomination to the Lord was that the person that sows discord amongst the brethren. And I was just kind of reading that scripture, and this dread came over me, and this compulsion that I needed to say this now, you know, came up. So I walked up on the stage, I began to read the scripture, and the Holy Spirit came on me. I've never, almost ever heard the Lord speak like that. There are 6 things the Lord hates. You know, this is the Bible. God actually does hate things. You know, yeah. God loves. He also hates. And I said, and one of them is the person who sows discord amongst the brethren, who comes in on purpose to cut off the right hand from the left. And I mean, it was the early days of Toronto when there was a lot of, controversy. Is this of God? Is this not of God? And some people, you know, just, it talks in the book of Jude. It talks in other scriptures about people that come in on purpose to divide the body, to look for things that they can criticize and say, see, they did that wrong. See, they did that wrong. Yeah. Actually on purpose to divide. Yeah. Well, anyway, I felt like the Holy Spirit was saying there's people like that in this room, and I want them to know how I feel about that heart attitude. So, I mean, it was just a ripper. People told me that, you know, the hair on their arms stood straight up, the hair on the back of their necks. It was very, very intense. But at the end of it, this person came up and had a brown bag full of stuff that he'd got from the bookstore, you know, to actually on purpose, you know, find things in order to criticize the move of God with. And he dropped them at my feet like Judas with the 30 things of silver, you know. And he said, here, you can have these. And he walked out and, you know, but he told me that he came in here on purpose to make some programs and stuff.
And, you know, It's because God loves us. I mean, he's not a cruel God.
No.
He loves. He's a God of love.
Yeah.
And so when we're talking about the fear of the Lord, because it does have to be talked about in this hour, we've had so much emphasis on the unconditional love, the grace, the compassion, the mercy of God, and all those things are the fullness of who he is. It's absolutely
totally true
about who God is. Mm-hmm. He is so beautiful. But in that love and in that compassion and in that mercy, he's a God to be respected. He's a God to be feared. He's a God that will cause the whole earth to tremble. Mm-hmm. He's a God that will shake entire nations. He is a God of excellent power and purpose. Mm-hmm. And that God wants us to be like him. Mm-hmm.
And actually, his heart is that no one perishes. You know, he doesn't want that. So that when this fear of the Lord comes in, or when he says, don't do this, or when he tells you, intensely, I hate that, that's so that we don't do it. Because then there is no loss of reward, no judgment,
exactly.
no nothing. It's like, it's a win-win.
It's a win-win. I was sharing with my grandson just a week ago. I said, honey, your life is like a garden, and God wants you to plant really good seeds because he loves you. Mm-hmm. You know, because whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap, not only in this life, but also in eternity. And God loves us so much, he always wants our good. Mm-hmm. You know, the fear of the Lord is, for some, an uncomfortable subject. You're probably wondering, maybe you have questions like, why would God make them so afraid? Why would God terrorize even a 5 or 6 year old little girl like that with a dream like that? But it might be hard for us to explain, but we'll say this, is when it's happening, there's a holiness, there's a safety, there's a comfort in the presence at the same time that is happening, because God is so good.
Mm-hmm.
He is so good and he's so loving. And, you know, I love the fear of the Lord. In fact, after it lifted, I said, God, give it to me again. Give it to me again, because I loved it. I love knowing that aspect of him. Mm-hmm. In your natural mind, you see, the carnal mind cannot accept the things of God. They're foolishness to it. So you might think, this sounds so foolish, but it's not. It's something the Lord wants us to have. And I just want to finish this up with a scripture. It says that the Spirit of the Lord rested upon Jesus. This is Isaiah 11. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge, and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight. It says Jesus delighted in the fear of the Lord. He delighted in the fear of the Lord. And he wants you to delight in the fear of the Lord. He wants me to delight in the fear of the Lord, because he is so awesome because of all the great things that he has in store. We'll be right back.
Encountering the Sevenfold Spirit is a teaching by Patricia King, helping you access all the Holy Spirit has for you. Enter into greater levels of wisdom, revelation, anointing, and understanding. Order Encountering the Sevenfold Spirit online now at xpministries.com.
Become a Breaker Team partner today. For a generous commitment of $30 a month or more, go online to xpministries.com.
God, the creator of the universe, desires relationship with you. He wants you to experience him. Join Patricia King and the XP team this coming Sunday for Experience. Experience is a powerful and impacting night of worship and the Word in an atmosphere charged with the presence of the Lord. Patricia hosts Experience events on the second Sunday of every month. Bring a friend or two with you and we'll see you there. For more information, go to xpministries.com.
And so, Lord, I release your glory on my new friend, Finn.
Oh. Are you called to media? XP Media's training team is available to teach you every phase of media production, from script writing to acting, editing, producing, and directing. For more information, visit xpmediatraining.com.
From my perspective, the spirit of the fear of the Lord is one of the kindest gifts, revelations that God has ever given to me. It has kept me from so much pain and sorrow. It's from the inside out allowed me to choose what is right. I just instinctively to know what is good and what is not good. And I feel like there's people out there that are crying out. They want to be righteous. They want to have this gift from God. That you're out there saying, help me. And so I'm going to pray for you right now. Jesus, Lord, you long for people to be righteous as you are righteous, to be holy as you are holy. I pray right now, God, that you would give them the answer to their desire, that you would give them the gift of the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Amen.
The fear of the Lord is such a powerful subject, and it's an invitation for every believer to take hold of it in this hour. You know, without the spirit of the fear of the Lord, the earth has no hope, really. All creation is groaning and longing for the sons of God, the mature children of God, to come forth and release them from their captivity. The fear of the Lord is so awesome. But in the midst of that, remember this, God loves you with an everlasting love. He really does.
Encountering the Sevenfold Spirit is a teaching by Patricia King, helping you access all the Holy Spirit has for you. Enter into greater levels of wisdom, revelation, anointing, and understanding. Order Encountering the Sevenfold Spirit online now at xpministries.com.
Become a Breaker Team partner today. Go online to xpministries.com.
God, the creator of the universe, desires relationship with you. He wants you to experience Him. Join Patricia King and the XP team this coming Sunday for Experience. Experience is a powerful and impacting night of worship and the Word in an atmosphere charged with the presence of the Lord. Patricia hosts Experience events on the second Sunday of every month. Bring a friend or two with you, and we'll see you there. For more information, go to xpministries.com.